What's happening in Buka is outrageous, and everyone's seen it.
Abdullah.
No, I think it is a war crime.
Accusations of atrocities. It's Wednesday, April 6th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Chris Cascale in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, Ukrainian residents' heartbreak, Afghanistan opium plant ban, Texas abortion debate, climate change report, drone delivery increasing. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky told the UN Security Council that the Russian military must be brought to justice immediately for war crimes. The Ukrainian leader made his plea via video Tuesday as grisly evidence continued to emerge of civilian massacres carried out by Russian forces on the outskirts of Kyiv. Meanwhile, Russia's invasion of Ukraine becomes deadlier by the day, with other world leaders accusing Russia of war crimes. VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb has more.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in Bucha, less than 30 kilometers from the capital, where bodies lie motionless in the streets, some with hands tied behind their backs.
It is very difficult to talk when you see what they have done here. People left in barrels, basements, having been strangled or simply tortured. These are war crimes, and they will be recognized by the world as genocide.
The Pentagon says it's obvious Russia is responsible, with President Joe Biden on Monday condemning the brutality.
And what's happening in Buka is outrageous, and everyone's seen it.
Abdullah.
No, I think it is a war crime.
What are you going to do about it, sir? Are you going to do more sanctions on Russia?
I'm seeking more sanctions, yes.
Russia has denied responsibility and called the images out of Bucha fake. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov.
After the Russian military had left, according to the plans and agreements, a fake was staged that is now being spread throughout all media channels and social media by the Ukrainian representatives and their Western patrons.
But satellite imagery shows bodies had lain in Bucha for weeks before Russian troops left. Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby said most of the Russian troops amassed near Kyiv and its suburbs have retreated, moving out to resupply as Ukrainians attack them.
The Russians have, at least for the time being, given up on a ground offensive against Kyiv.
Western officials say Russia now appears ready to focus more on the Donbas region to the east, which has seen recent increases in Russian airstrikes and military maneuvers. And Ukrainian officials warn that atrocities in the towns and cities that they haven't reached could be even worse than those in Bucha. Carla Babb, VOA News, The Pentagon.
Read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. Watchdog condemns Cambodia for revoking media licenses. Australia signs economic accord with India. Shanghai extends lockdown of 26 million people as COVID tests reviewed. Court allows Indian journalists to travel abroad to speak about intimidation. Pakistan court adjourns hearing on PM's bid to stay in power. Find complete coverage on all these stories on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the VOAnews.com website. Thank you for joining us on VOA Asia on this Wednesday. In the wake of Russia's withdrawal from towns surrounding the Ukrainian capital, Kyiv, residents say they are heartbroken by the death and destruction left behind. The Ukrainian government has said evidence appears to show that Russia has committed war crimes, VOA's Heather Murdoch reports.
This plot of land in the Ukrainian capital, Kyiv, has been set aside to bury and honor civilians and soldiers killed in recent battles and future war victims. Over the weekend, as Ukraine announced it had retaken towns surrounding the capital, gruesome reports emerged about the deaths of hundreds of civilians, with many bodies left on the streets. On Sunday, a giant fire raged in the southern port city of Odessa after Russian airstrikes hit an oil processing plant and fuel depots around the city. In the cemetery in Kyiv, the facility's director says the war may now be focused further east and south, but he thinks the relative peace in the capital is temporary. Since the war began in late February, 30 missiles have hit this cemetery.
It is impossible to feel safe here. For example, on March 2nd, during the escalation in Bukha, missiles hit our cemetery within 100 meters of the workers. The workers hid inside of the graves, and after the hit, kept digging.
Locals say they are shocked and heartbroken by the recent death and destruction. Kyiv remains a tangle of barricades, and the remnants of bombed buildings still lay exactly where they fell after being hit. Russia says it has withdrawn from Kyiv, but some believe they will continue to attack in other regions.
I don't trust them. I think they are regrouping, and it could be even worse if Russia moves more troops to the east. It's not easy for Ukrainian soldiers to protect those regions.
In the western part of the country, where air raid sirens are heard daily, even though attacks here are infrequent, leaders say their government is preparing civilians to withstand battle.
We provide different kind of training, first aid, chemical attack drills, air raid instructions, defense skills, including defending the buildings we are in now, the city municipality.
This school in Vinnytsia is being used to house families who are among the millions of displaced people in Ukraine. Many say they are furious.
If we have to, we will fight them with our bare hands and tear them apart for killing our children and everything else they have done.
The war in Ukraine has forced about 10 million people to flee their homes, and the United Nations says roughly half are children. The Ukrainian government says mass killings in Bucha and other towns near Kyiv appear to be war crimes. Heather Murdoch, VOA News, Vinnytsia and Kyiv, Ukraine.
Still to come on VOA Asia, Afghanistan's Taliban ban growing opium poppy plants. Happening now in Asia, Japan's foreign minister returned from Poland on Tuesday with 20 Ukrainians displaced by Russia's ongoing war on their country as Tokyo seeks to play a greater role in international support for Ukraine. Stay up to date with VOA or listening to VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. In Afghanistan, the Taliban have issued a decree prohibiting the growth of opium poppy plants as well as the use and trading of narcotics, and have banned other illicit drugs and alcohol. Ibrahim Momand has the story for VOA from Kabul, narrated by Bejan Hamdad.
For the first time since they reassumed power in Afghanistan, the Taliban have prohibited opium poppy cultivation as well as its use, trade, and export, and have banned other illicit drugs and alcohol. The ban comes as poppy production has reached all-time high across the country. Taliban leader Mullah Haibatullah Akhundzada issued the decree, which Taliban government spokesperson Zabiullah Mujahid announced Saturday at a rally in Kabul.
If anyone cultivates poppy, the crop will be destroyed and they will face with Sharia law. Also, all types of drugs like alcohol, heroin, crystal meth, tablet K, and hashish. And heroin production factories are banned. Narcotics transportation, trade, selling, dealing, imports, and exports are prohibited.
Afghanistan is the world's largest producer of opium, according to the United Nations. Residents in Kabul applauded the Taliban's decision.
Poppy, hashish, and all narcotics should be banned.
We are very happy. It's an achievement, not only for us, but for the world too.
The United States has praised the Taliban's decision, but has cautioned that executing the prohibition will be crucial. Even though the Taliban had banned opium production during their first reign in Afghanistan, opium cultivation was a major source of funding for the group during their 20-year war against NATO forces and the former Afghan government. According to a UN report from June 2021, opium poppy production and trade was one of the Taliban's most significant sources of income. For Ibrahim Momand in Kabul, Afghanistan, Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, read, and share all the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news, information, and great features.
This news alert from VOA Asia. Disruptions to supplies of commodities, financial strains, and higher prices are among the impacts of the war in Ukraine that will slow economies in Asia in coming months, the World Bank says in a report. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Welcome back to VOA Asia. The future of abortion rights is in flux in the U.S. as the Supreme Court is expected to weigh in on the issue in June. Since September, Texas has banned abortions after 6 weeks. For women seeking an abortion, many are in a race against time. Dina Mitchell has the story for VOA.
Amy, a spoken word poet, recently had an abortion, and it was no easy task. The divorced mother of a three-year-old said she barely had time to think once she realized she was pregnant, because she is in Texas.
If I would have had a little bit more time, lowered my blood pressure a little bit, maybe I would have made a decision. We'll never know.
In September, the state enacted the most restrictive abortion law in the U.S. Amy, who declined to give her last name, knew she had just days to do it all, make her decision, find a place to get an abortion, and then go through with it.
I don't even think I had gotten the results from the pregnancy test. I was already Googling where to get an abortion in Texas just so that I could have the option.
Amy's experience in Texas may soon become reality for more women in the U.S. The Supreme Court is expected to decide on an abortion case in June that could spur a wave of abortion rights restrictions throughout the nation. Worried abortion rights advocates point to life in Texas under the new law, where women have to get an abortion by the time a fetal heartbeat is detected, which is around 6 weeks of being pregnant for most women. It also carries the ability to sue anyone who helps a woman get an abortion after 6 weeks. The reality for most women is that the deadline is even shorter. When Amy missed her period 2 weeks after having sex, she was considered to be 4.5 to 5 weeks pregnant, since pregnancy is calculated from the first day of a woman's last period. Amy had less than a week, but after multiple phone calls, she was able to get into a clinic.
I didn't even have time to, like, assess my own thoughts. I felt the clock ticking.
But for anti-abortion activists, this type of time constraint is a big step in the right direction. Joe Poyman is the founder of Texas Alliance for Life, an anti-abortion organization.
Our goal is to make a society such that no woman would even consider having an abortion because she feels there are no alternatives. We do have vast alternatives.
Instead of seeking an abortion, Poyman wants pregnant women to visit Texas's nearly 200 crisis pregnancy centers, like this one, where he says they get support. Brittany Green Benningfield heads the Pflugerville Pregnancy Resource Center.
So this is our baby boutique for our moms. This is where when they come in, they take those lessons with us, they get the opportunity to shop. Through classes, they earn their points, and then they're able to take what they need. We have a licensed sonographer, and she provides ultrasounds for any of our clients that come in. We're giving our moms a first glimpse to see their baby.
The centers also help women make doctor's appointments and offer things like canned goods until the child is 2.5 to 3 years old. Poyman says it's all a big step in the right direction, but that much more work is needed.
While the number of abortions has substantially decreased and women are seeking more agencies that provide alternatives to abortions, there's still tens of thousands of abortions in Texas going on.
In some ways, Amy was a best-case scenario for someone seeking an abortion in Texas. She knew the law, she knew she had to move quickly, and she had resources to get an abortion and possibly travel out of state if necessary. That's not the case for poorer women, who are being harmed most by the law, says abortion rights advocates. Sarah Wheat is a spokesperson for Planned Parenthood.
Once they find out and are informed that Texas law prevents them from accessing an abortion right here, as they're sitting already in our health center, it's too much. The barriers are too great. Whether that is that they don't have access to reliable transportation, or they can't get time off of their job, or they don't have somebody to take care of their children. I mean, it is totally out of reach.
In each month between September and December, 1,400 Texas women went out of state for an abortion, according to the University of Texas. That's more than 4,000 women. Many others who missed the deadline ordered abortion pills online, which comes with risk when not taken under medical supervision. Amy said this makes her worry.
Women are going to get abortions. They've done it for centuries, even when they were fully illegal, and that's how women died from abortion. So if you take away this decision, you're ultimately just taking away women's lives.
Those who oppose abortion say abortions take human lives too. Certainly a difficult debate, no matter the perspective. Dina Mitchell for VOA News, Austin, Texas.
U.S. Appellate Court Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson advanced one step closer to becoming the first African-American woman to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court, with a key U.S. Senate committee advancing her nomination for a full floor vote later this week. President Joe Biden's nominee to serve on the highest court in the country also won the support of two more Republicans, as Senators Lisa Murkowski and Mitt Romney announced they plan to vote to confirm Jackson.
I spent a great deal of time reviewing Judge Jackson's record, interviewing her twice, once before the hearing, once after the hearing, for a total of 2.5 hours. And I talked to other legal experts and reviewed numerous documents. In the end, I decided that she had the qualifications, the experience, and the credentials that we require of a Supreme Court justice, and warranted my support.
Their votes, along with those of the 48 Democrats and two independents in the Senate, would be more than enough to confirm Jackson. The Senate is expected to begin debate and to hold a final vote on her nomination before leaving for the Easter holiday recess later this week. Making headlines in Asia, Australia has accelerated plans to buy long-range strike missiles years ahead of schedule because of growing threats posed by Russia and China. The defense minister said accelerated rearming of fighter jets and warships would cost $2.6 billion and increase Australia's deterrence to potential adversaries. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. Climate scientists warn the world is courting disaster if it fails to swiftly do what's required to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius. The International Panel on Climate Change has released a report on mitigating climate change. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
After two previous reports on the physical science behind climate change and on its potential impacts, the United Nations' top climate body says changes are now causing huge disruptions in the natural world and in human well-being. Over the last decade, the report says average annual global greenhouse gas emissions were at their highest levels in human history. However, the co-chair of the panel's third working group, Jim Skay, says the rate of growth has slowed in the last 2 years, along with increasing evidence of many countries taking climate action.
Despite this progress, our assessment concludes that unless there are immediate and deep emission reductions across all sectors, limiting warming to 1.5 degrees will be beyond reach. Now, limiting warming to around 2 degrees still requires global emissions to peak before 2025 at the latest and be reduced by about a quarter by 2030.
The report says the energy sector accounts for a third of all emissions, and major transitions will be required to slow global warming. This, it says, will involve substantial reductions in fossil fuel use, widespread electrification, improved energy efficiency, and the use of alternative fuels. The vice chair of the third working group, Diana Org-Vorsatz, says the right policies can result in a 40 to 70% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions by 2050. She says changes in lifestyle and behavior also can reduce our carbon footprint as well as improve health and well-being.
Of the 60 actions we assessed in this report, on an individual level, the biggest contribution comes from switching to walking and cycling and using electrified transport. Other effective options include reducing air travel and adapting our houses.
Scientists on the Intergovernmental Panel agree business as usual is not an option in meeting the many challenges of climate change. They warn the longer action is put off, the more irreversible it will become to prevent the planet from becoming unlivable. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
This is Science in a Minute.
The National Human Genome Research Institute at the National Institutes of Health is reporting that researchers have created the first complete gapless sequence of a human genome. A gapless sequence is valuable in genetic research because for the first time, researchers will have access to a complete sequence of the roughly 3 billion bases or letters of our DNA. According to a press release from the NHGRI, up until now, researchers had access to about 92% of the human genome. Adam Filippi, PhD, who co-chairs the Telomere to Telomere Consortium that led the research group, says, quote, "Truly finishing the human genome sequence was like putting on a new pair of glasses. Now we can clearly see everything. We are one step closer to understanding what it all means," end quote. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Finally on VOA Asia, in the U.S., some restaurants and medical supply stores are turning to drones to deliver food, medicine, and other essential goods to people's homes. VOA's Julie Tabo has more.
This drone isn't off on a spying mission or any other clandestine activity. It's delivering medicine quickly and safely to someone's home. Industry observers say drone deliveries of food, medicine, and other essential goods to homes may soon become more common in the U.S. as more companies gain approval from the Federal Aviation Administration, which works on the safety rules governing the skies. Amy Webb is CEO of the Future Today Institute, a management consulting firm. She spoke with VOA via Skype.
We're probably going to see more machines flying through the air.
As demand for home delivery increases among U.S. city and suburban dwellers, it's people who live in remote areas who may see the biggest benefit.
You're going to want something like a drone that is capable of locating you, picking up and dropping off to you the medical supplies that you might need.
Flytrex, an Israeli company, manufactures and operates electric drones that deliver meals from local restaurants to people's homes. Yadav Bash is the CEO and co-founder of Flytrex. He spoke with VOA via Skype.
All you have to do is, as the customer, is download the app, select what you want to eat, input your home address and your credit card information, of course, and we take care of the rest.
Bash pitches home deliveries by drone as safer than deliveries by car or truck and more cost-effective than human couriers. Prior to founding Flytrex, he was a founder of a company that launched the first private interplanetary robotic mission to the moon.
Instead of flying to the moon 200,000 miles, we fly to people's backyards 200 feet above the ground. Pretty similar.
In the U.S., Flytrex drones are currently operating in three locations in North Carolina.
So that's a population of roughly 10,000 families in those three locations. And as we expand our service to more stations and receive more approvals from the FAA, the sky's the limit.
Julie Tabo, VOA News.
Read and see more on this story at VOA Asia Facebook. That's all the time we have for today's VOA Asia. Make sure you find us on all our social media platforms. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and at voanews.com. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Jessica Stone. I'm Chris Cascao in Washington. Enjoy the day, stay safe, and be well.